Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. Our text for this ascension of our Lord is written in the book of Acts, chapter 1. I'd like to read again verses 10 to 12 and verse 14. And while they were gazing into heaven as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white robes and said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus, who was taken up from you into heaven, will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven. Then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey away. All these disciples, with one accord, were devoting themselves to prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. The Acts account of Jesus' ascension pictures the disciples as looking up into the sky. And they kept right on doing that, looking up, even when a cloud or whatever it is hid Jesus from their view. And since this is the day of the ascension of our Lord, we want to use this time as an opportunity to ask ourselves where and how we are looking in our lives. All of us are looking for meaning and a sense of direction and purpose. We're always doing that. And so were the 120 disciples in the upper room as they prayed together right after Jesus' ascension. A lot of people look in the wrong direction in their view of life. And we do too, sometimes. We may look down. That's what we do when we're sad. We're downhearted, downcast. Maybe we've lost someone or something that was very dear to us. Life has its tragedies and problems, and we can easily get discouraged and depressed about them, and that's when we look down. Now, we might also look down in our pride. That means we look down on other people. That's the basis for prejudice and strained relations between people of different races and cultures and communities and nations. When we look down on other people, we may insult them and hurt their feelings as we try to make them feel inferior to us. So, looking down on someone can easily lead also to putting them down. Looking down in these ways is also looking in the wrong direction. We might also look back a great deal. If we are looking in that direction, then we live too much in the past. We should certainly learn from the past, and we should appreciate our heritage from the past. But God gives us each new day to live to its fullest on that day. We live in the past when we hold grudges against people and then we don't forgive them. We dwell on other people's mistakes and failures and keep bringing them up from the past. Or we dwell on our own mistakes from the past, and then guilt and shame take control of us. When we live that much in the past, then we don't like change or progress. We want to slow things down rather than moving forward more quickly, and that can even happen as a congregation. And certainly as witnesses to Jesus' death and resurrection. then there is little or no urgency about the mission that Jesus sends us on as his disciples. To make disciples of all nations by baptizing and teaching. That's what Jesus said in the Great Commission. Instead, we may be rather complacent about all that, or think that somebody else can take care of that. We can be satisfied with the status quo. So looking only to the past finally can lead to a negative attitude about the present and the future. That's why looking back too much is also looking in the wrong direction. Another way of looking is that we look out for ourselves, that is. That's selfishness and self-centeredness. And if that's the way we are looking out just for number one, then we will not care or be concerned about others. And our world gets pretty small then. And the result is a lot of conflict, rivalry, ill will, fear, because to one degree or another, all the 8.3 billion people on this earth right now are looking in this wrong direction, looking out mostly just for themselves. No matter how it affects someone else or how it goes against God's will and God's commandments. So that attitude leads people to tell lies, steal, cheat, deceive others, just so that they can get something that they want. Well, the ascension of our Lord gives us an upward look, an ascending view of life. It is the upward look of hope and optimism by God's grace. The scripture lessons today give us that ascending view of life. Because of Jesus, things are looking up. First of all, let's look at Jesus' ascension itself. When that happened, the disciples physically and literally looked up. They were lifting their heads to Jesus the Christ. The angels asked them, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven?" Verse 11 of our text. Every time I hear that text, it reminds me of an LCMS youth gathering that was held in Denver quite a few years ago, because our three daughters attended that one, and they brought home a kite. And it had those words on it from Acts 1, verse 11, "Why are you standing looking up into heaven?" That was printed on there in bright letters. Well, guess where that kite poster got put up? On the ceiling, of course. A good place for it. We don't post too many things up on ceilings, do we? But we had to look up to see it. When we have saving faith in Jesus, we too look up and lift up our eyes to him. We rely on him and him alone for our salvation. We have come to such a belief because when Jesus left, he promised to send the Holy Spirit, and he did. And that Spirit calls us to faith, brings us up to faith, and keeps us in the faith. It's a faith that makes us lift up our heads and look in the direction of Calvary. the place where Jesus died the death that we should have died, the death which is the wages of sin, and by God's grace through faith, God spares us from that. He forgives our sins rather than holds them against us. To the world, it may seem strange to focus our attention on someone's death, as we Christians do. Death is ugly. The Bible says it is our last enemy. We avoid it. We have a natural aversion to death. By objective standards, looking at Jesus dying on a cross, a cruel instrument of criminal execution, it's not a pretty sight. But we find beauty, comfort, hope, and peace in it. On the cross, minutes before Jesus died there, he cried out, "It is finished." Jesus finished God's plan for our salvation and fulfilled everything that had been written about him. He did everything that needed to be done in order to reconcile us to God. And he sealed the completion of his work by rising from the dead, thus showing his victory over death, evil, and sin. So, when we lift up our heads to Jesus in faith, we get an ascending view of life. We get that in baptism, where our sins are washed away and we are joined to Christ in his death and resurrection. We get an ascending view of life through the means of Holy Communion, in which Christ comes to us with his body and blood in order to live in us so that we also live in him. And in our liturgy, the pastor calls us to lift up your hearts. That's just in case there just may be a few downhearted people among us. And the congregation responds with, "We lift them up unto the Lord." And so we get to be uphearted people rather than downhearted people. In response to lifting up our heads and hearts to Jesus in faith, we also lift up our eyes in prayer. The disciples and early Christians are powerful examples of people who had an ascending view of life and prayed. Acts 1 records that the first thing the disciples did after they saw Jesus ascend was they prayed. As soon as they got back to Jerusalem, Acts 1 verse 14 says, "All these with one accord were devoting themselves to prayer, together with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus and his brothers." And we know that they prayed daily in their homes, individually and privately, but also as families and in small groups. They prayed every week when they gathered together in house churches to worship the risen and ascended Christ and to celebrate the resurrection every Sunday. Now, the New Testament nowhere commands that Christians must go to church every Sunday. That's kind of different from in the Old Testament. In the third commandment, of course, the commandment is remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. But the New Testament simply assumes that Christians will assemble weekly and devote themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. Acts 2, verse 42. That assumption made in the New Testament is the only reason that it is not commanded. It assumes that the resurrection of Jesus would mean so much to us that we would want to celebrate it every Sunday. And so we worship God and we celebrate the resurrection every Sunday because we get to, not because we have to, or else, or should. Besides, it's part of our ascending view of life. But life really can get down to us at times as we go in wrong directions and look in the wrong directions. We may look down in hopelessness and fear, or we look out for ourselves in selfishness, or we look back when we remember every wrong done against us and decide to pay back evil for evil and live by the law of revenge. But God offers us today an ascending view of life. God wants us to look up beyond the sin and hurt and pain and suffering to see the fullness of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. To see forgiveness for ourselves, first of all, and then forgiveness for others through us. With an ascending view of life, we shall see our salvation in Jesus, who died and rose from the dead to end sin's dominion in this world and in eternity. And we will pray to worship and thank the God who brings us out of the pits of guilt, fear, depression, hatred, and brings us up to faith, hope, peace, and love. And then things are really looking up. With faith in Jesus, our view of life keeps on ascending right into eternity. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.